If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 7 and we'll read to verse 12. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So death works in us, but life in you. Father, again, we thank you for your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for scriptures. That is your last word to us concerning your redemptive purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for grace that takes sinners and joins them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, it is our desire, it is our prayer, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would be honored, would be glorified, would be lifted up in this service. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Paul writes in the section that we begin today, from chapter 4, verse 7, all the way through chapter 5, verse 21. What he writes about and what he touches really deals with some of the harshest realities of life, some of the harshest realities of human existence. We're going to look at, well, not all today, but some next week also. Verses 7 through 18 of chapter 4 deals with suffering. It deals with physical decay. It deals with hurting. It deals with pain and disappointment. Sorrow. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, we're going to see deals with death. Dying. And then 5, 10 through 21 deals with judgment. Three universal realities. Everyone who draws breath cannot evade or escape these three things. There's no secret. There's no formula that will enable us to escape these realities of life. Boy, what a cheerful message this is going to be. This is perhaps one of the reasons why this section of Paul's letter to the 2 Corinthians has struck such a deep response in people who read it and people who study it. Everyone is looking. Everyone is searching for the power to live in this chaotic, uncertain, confused world. with everything that's going on around us in our personal lives, in family life, at work, at home, and then in the larger areas of life, amongst the nation and in a world that just seems to be always on the edge. Looking for something, looking for some power, some ability that will allow us, that will enable us to handle and to deal with all these things. Where, and I mean, there are so many books written. There are so many teachings out there about how to overcome, how to, the secret to being able to live on top of life instead of underneath of life. Well, this is where Paul comes in. And he gives to us something that's not a secret. It's not hidden. It's not deep. It's not just for a few very, very special people. Just for a few elite who have discovered this secret and have been able to sell it to others. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" Man, woman, boy, or girl who stands righteous before a holy God will do so only by faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got to ask ourselves, if we've been a professing Christian for any length of time, we've got to ask ourselves, what difference does the gospel make in how I view the world? What difference does the power of the gospel make in my life? What difference does it make in decisions that I make every day? As we saw in the Sunday school class in Romans 14, 23, it says, "Whatever is not of faith is sin." Whatever I do that is not directly, consciously connected to the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in Christ is sin. Because Jesus Christ is now enthroned, reigning, and ruling over all things. The Spirit of God in the life of the believer brings that conviction of sin, of the things that we do during the day that we have somehow allowed Satan to distract us from this gospel, from the person and the work of Christ. Or we're just kind of living on autopilot. We're just going from crisis to crisis. We're just withdrawing more and more back into our own little shell and trying to build little fences around us and walls around us. Look what Paul says in verse 7, chapter 4. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." But we are so weak. We are so helpless. We are so feeble. But Paul says, we have this treasure. What is the treasure that he's speaking of? What is this treasure that is placed in earthen vessels. Well, if you back up, we talked about it last week a little bit. Verses 5 and 6 tells us what the treasure is, what's been placed inside of us. Paul says, "For we do not preach ourselves." It's not about us. Paul says, we're not preaching ourselves. We're not trying to set ourselves forth. But Christ Jesus as Lord. There's the treasure. There's the treasure. Jesus Christ is Lord. He says, we preach Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the King. That's what the word Messiah, Lord, means, King. The promised Messiah of the nation of Israel was going to be the King that was going to come. And this King is Jesus, not only of the nation of Israel that no longer exists because there is now the true people of God made up of the church, Jew and Gentile, that He is King of all, not just one little area, but He is now King enthroned over all the world, reigning and ruling. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. That's the treasure. Nothing. Nothing can happen. Nothing does happen that ultimately doesn't come to fulfill the purpose of this King, Christ Jesus, as Lord. Nothing. Nothing in our lives, nothing in the lives of our loved ones, nothing in the lives of our friends. It's a treasure. The gospel has been placed in our hearts. The gospel has been placed in our lives, not just in our heads. Not just in our heads. So we can spout off this truth. We can spout off this doctrine. We can spout off this orthodoxy. But it never touches our lives. It's the glory. Paul goes on in verse 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservant. Ourselves as your slave. We're to live in the body of Christ as slaves to one another. Serving, caring more about others, doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. By this the world will know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. And he goes on in verse 6, for God, this is what God did. This is why we live the way we live. This is why we can see ourselves as slaves. This is why it's not about us. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness in the original creation when there was nothing, spoke everything into being. In the darkness, speaks, let there be light, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, the King. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has done something in the darkness of my heart, the darkness of our life, to show forth the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now it is all about Jesus Christ and making Christ known. That is the treasure that has been placed by God's grace in the heart of every child of God. Not just a few. Not just a select little group, in the heart of every child of God, every born again child of God. And there's no other type of child of God or children of God than born again children of God. Just like in the creation of the world, God spoke and it was done. God didn't need the help of creation to bring about creation. God gets all the glory. And in the new creation, in regeneration, God speaks and the gospel creates. The gospel comes to dwell within the hearts and the minds and the lives of His people. And God gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. The treasure is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His life. It is His substitutionary death. It is His burial. It is His resurrection. It is His present enthronement, reigning and ruling at the right hand of the Father with all authority and all power and all rule and all dominion. And that's what we've been made a part of. That dwells within us. But we have this treasure. Either we have it or we don't have it. The treasure of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth that changes our lives, that changes how we view life. The truth that changes how we view suffering, how we view disappointment, how we view pain, how we view all the, quote, chaos of this world. It's all under the control of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's laughing. You read the book of Daniel and you have Nebuchadnezzar built the great city, kingdom of Babylon, and you're walking around saying, look what I've done. And God says, you're going to be an idiot for 7 years out in a field eating grass. Our reigning Lord Jesus Christ now has all power, all authority, all dominion, all rule over every supposed Nebuchadnezzar in this world today. That's the treasure. Verse 7 goes on to say that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. A clay jar. Clay jars were just a dime a dozen. They were just throwaway containers in the first century at this time. Every domesticated culture, when they would do digs, they would find evidences of clay jars broken into a bunch of pieces. Lifespans of clay jars weren't very long. Just earthenware. They were just kind of an anonymous part of everyday living. They were used for cooking. They were used for eating. They were used for drinking. They were for storing leftovers. No one took notice of clay jars any more than Wednesday night when we had our get-together, our fellowship down at the house, we went and got some pizzas. Nobody looked at the pizza boxes. We looked at the pizzas. We enjoyed and ate the pizzas. The treasure was the pizzas. Those boxes were just the containers that they came in. That's an earthen vessel. I went into Circle K this morning and got a very precious cup of coffee, but put it in a paper cup. The paper cup was the earthen vessel, just a container. I drank the coffee and threw the cup away. That's what Paul is using, this picture, this term of earthen vessel. as a picture, as a metaphor, to just for show himself and to show his followers just how weak and frail our humanity is. Our human body is. Wasn't Adam formed out of the dust of the ground? Wasn't to dust that he returned? These clay jars, these earthen vessels, are all frail. They're weak. They're transitory mortals like you and I. That's us. I don't care what the television says. We're just weak and frail. We're aging. You can't stop it. That's an earthen vessel. There is no power, no strength within ourselves. Then why is this power placed in earthen vessels? Look at verse 7 again. But we have this treasure, this precious treasure, this power of the gospel in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. Boy, this truth we've got to get into our brains. We've got to get into our minds and our lives. We don't have any power within ourselves. And here I think we see another contrast between the old covenant and the new covenant. Where was the glory of God placed in the old covenant? Where did you find it? Well, it was placed in a wooden box covered with gold in a special sanctuary surrounded by thick curtains that only one man could go in one time a year, with another sanctuary, the holy place, connected to it with inside a whole tabernacle or temple. That's where the treasure of the glory of God was found in the old covenant. And Israel couldn't come too close to it. Everything about that said, stay away, for I am holy, and you are not. And they would offer a sacrifice once a year. One man could go into the presence, and the whole system was saying, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. Stay away, I am holy. And now, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this treasure comes to dwell within earthen vessels. So that the greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. There must be no mistake where the power to live the Christian life comes from. It never comes from ourselves. It never comes from us figuring it out. It never comes from secret knowledge. It never comes from special experience. It comes from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. We're only vessels, and we will always be only vessels that are weak and decaying and on our way to death. We are vessels through which the reality and the power of God and the reality of the gospel is to be displayed. But it must always be the power of the gospel displayed, not ourselves. You know what we're so guilty of at times? We're so guilty of trying to embezzle the praise that belongs only to God. We try to embezzle the praise that belongs only to the reigning Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, aren't they some kind of spiritual person. Boy, aren't they close. No, no closer than any other earthen vessel that is indwelt with the treasure, so that the power will be of God. Our humanity, our utter frailty, our weakness provides the ground for God's power. And the more we try to demonstrate power, we're embezzling God's glory. Power in ourselves. Look in chapter 12. This is what Paul tells us in chapter 12. Nobody likes to be weak. Chapter 12, verse 9. This is, of course, the thorn after that. Well, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, Paul taken up into the third heaven, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Twice, to keep me from exalting myself. Paul receives this messenger from Satan, a thorn in the flesh that he thought was going to keep him from being effective in preaching the gospel. And Satan was just happy that if that would happen. But it ends up being a messenger of Satan sent from God to make Paul a better preacher. The weaker Paul is, the better preacher he is of the gospel. Verse 8, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul, get this, most gladly, not reluctantly kicking and screaming, most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness. I could ask for a show of hands of how many of us are well content with our weakness, but not one of us could raise them, could we? So that the power of Christ might dwell. I am well content with weaknesses, plural, with the insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. Again, whatever is not of faith is sin. Every situation, every insult, every distress, everything is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I haven't, I am in sin, denying the lordship of Jesus Christ. For when I am weak, verse 10, then I am strong, only because of the treasure that dwells within me. Well, that's pretty much the first part. I'm going to close here. I'm going to stop here because I want to do the whole next section of what this looks like in our lives next week. But if you look ahead in those next few verses, every child of God, if we're a Christian here this morning, if we are saved here this morning, not if we're religious, but if we are saved here this morning, if we are standing in the righteousness of Christ, we have had a but now experience in our lives. Now, it may not have been a Damascus Road experience like the Apostle Paul. It may not have been 4th of July fireworks going off. It may have been sitting in your chair, lying in your bed one night when you come to realize, I need a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. And I have not been living for Him. I've been living in my own strength and my own power for my own glory. I've been playing a game with the church. I've been playing a game with religion. But now, God has caused His glory to shine in the darkness of my life in the face of Jesus Christ. And now I desire Him. There must be a but now experience in our lives. Right now, this morning, is there a but now experience in your life? Can you say that? I want to live to make Jesus Christ known. But not only is there a but now experience in our lives, in the life of every Christian, there's a but not experience. And that's where Paul goes in those next verses. That's having the treasure and going through the experiences of this life that we're called to walk in. Just look at verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're squeezed. That's what that word means. That word afflicted. We are squeezed. We are pressured in every way. In every situation in life. It's just like we're in a pressure canner. We are being squeezed. We're in a vice. But because of the treasure that dwells in this earthen vessel, we can't be crushed. And we live that way. And we demonstrate that in our life. Not in our own power, but in the power of this gospel that dwells within us. That we want to set forth to the glory of Jesus Christ. And the greatest example that I have seen of that recently, outside of Scripture, I share with you, is the life of one Guy Price. In Charleston, 94, 95 years old. 3 days before he dies, sitting in a wheelchair with swollen arms and legs because his kidneys are failing, in pain and in distress, sitting beside the bed of his brother, speaking the gospel to his brother who was not a believer. Pressured, distressed, but not crushed. Because he had a message. He had a treasure dwelling within him that he desired to make known more than he desired his own. That's where Paul's going in these next verses. That's the application. It's not our strength. It's not our personalities. It's not our abilities. That's nothing but an earthen vessel that's decaying and falling apart and getting weaker and is going to just break up one day in death. But we have a message. We have a gospel that by God's grace has been placed inside of us. There is a power inside of us that the Spirit and the grace of God has placed there. That we are to walk in, that we're to walk in desiring to make that known, not ourselves. Let's stand. Thank you, Father, for the treasure of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for these earthen vessels that you formed in our mother's womb. That you made us exactly as you purposed. And you've written the days of our lives in your book when as yet there was not one of them, days that you have ordained for us so that everything that's happened to us in our lives has been ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Even that moment when you opened our hearts to the treasure that you were placing in these feeble bodies. Father, open our hearts anew and afresh. Open our eyes, open our minds to this precious treasure. And help us to look at life, every part of it, through the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus. To your praise, to your glory, and to your honor, we ask these things. In Christ's name, amen.